Tonight, we have another Mental Monday chat with Dr. Daphne Scott. Then we switch gears with our Music Monday band, Lily Kay. But first, we get some information about the JDRF One Walk from John Hennessy. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Thank you so much for finding us Pretty Late. I am your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we have a fun show. It's Monday night. A lot has, just in the world of sports, a lot of annoying things, I think, have happened in the last 24 hours. The Bulls lost, the Hawks lost, the Cubs lost, the White Sox lost. People couldn't pee at Wrigley. And we've got a lot to talk about. I don't know if, I think not being able to pee at Wrigley seems to be dominating the news.
For anyone unfamiliar with the headlines, that last one probably caught their ear.
I think P-Gate, people were calling it P-Gate.
Yeah.
Yes, people were not allowed. They weren't able, not allowed. There were like 34,000 people, two bathrooms. By the way, it was Sarah Gendra from WGN News. I was trying to remember her name last night. She was taking pictures. I mean, just the entire, the whole hallway outside the bathrooms were just packed with people. You didn't know who was going to the men's room, the women's room. Daphne Scott joins me in studio, and people were peeing in cups. Well, I mean, and by people, we know that means men. I mean, what?
Well, they're the most convenient. I mean, women just got to tough it out. The guys it's just more convenient. So
yeah.
I don't blame them. I would take advantage of that convenience.
At what point do you just see that crowd and go, I guess it's time to go home? I guess it's time to leave and not be here anymore.
That's logic,
right,
Patty?
Get out.
Yeah. Well, did you stay?
I was not there.
Oh, you weren't there.
You know what? I actually went to the bathroom just to mock those people. If I could have, I would have brought my television into the bathroom and just watched the game from there and been like, "Sucks to be you, folks."
I'll show you. You make a good point, though. I think if I felt like I had to go in a trough.
Yes.
Or in a corner,
mm-hmm.
I would probably just leave.
Right. Well, we make so much fun of the people on St. Patrick's Day for peeing in public and getting too drunk and stuff. And then you put people in a situation like this and they don't have any other choice but to try to relieve themselves. Right?
They were letting people leave. As Sam mentioned last night,
you leave and come back.
You could, if you knew about it, walk out, get your ticket stamped and come back in mm-hmm. after you pee at the local bars.
Right.
Oh, the local bars?
Yeah, the lovely local bars.
Right, they were just overwrought then.
Probably, and then I would just stay at the bar. So who, like on opening day, like leading up into the hours of the opening day, you know, they know what the bathroom situation, I mean, is it all guys? And even if it is all guys, are they like, well, you know, well, dudes will just go in the sink. And they just figure, this will work. We totally can open the gates.
This is a lot to think about.
Because someone was saying, who's going to get in trouble for this? Do you think anybody actually gets in trouble for that? Or does somebody just go,
I mean, people not being able to pee at the game, that, if anyone's going to get in trouble, that seems to be something they deserve to be in trouble for.
Yeah. And did you hear,
that's bad planning.
Definitely bad planning.
They ran out of food, too, by the way, Daphne. Pretty much everything except French fries.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even get a hot dog.
See, but
you
no
could get a hot dog bun,
which is
very
confusing.
The only
reason I go to a baseball game.
Right.
Right. And to pee, apparently.
Right. Right. They had a bunch of beer, but you didn't want that.
Yeah, this sounds like a logistical nightmare. I mean, do you think they were just, it was kind of like, oh, the house isn't done, but you know, let's just have a party anyway.
Yes, exactly. But at least if you go to someone's house, you figure, well, I'm just going to go out in their yard or something. I mean, I don't know what I do at people's houses.
Yeah, I would just go in the yard.
Would you just go in the yard?
Yeah.
Now, by the way, Daphne Scott, who is our positivity expert, when I have the opportunity, I stop and I pick her up on the way into work. And, you know, I mean, I have an old car. And by the way, Craig also knows that at home, I don't have a flat screen television just so we can, like, get up to speed, Daphne.
Wow.
About my world. I have a
deeper.
I have a 2000 JVC television, 25-inch JVC.
And yet she has two smartphones.
Well, this is, I think, the juxtaposition. A position that that's why this whole story that she's about to tell is just so
well. You can tell this story because I don't even like it doesn't occur to me.
We're having this very great conversation, Craig, on the way here, and it was very engaging. And as we're pulling into the parking lot, I just happened to look down, and I see a tape, a cassette tape.
Jill, back me up on this. You've seen cassette tapes in the last 5 years, right?
Of course,
sure.
Where at the library?
Oh,
Jill, sadly, no. I'm nostalgic. I still have mine.
In her home. She has them in her home. She has a boombox. Jill and I have a boombox.
I have issues.
I have a boombox in my basement. I have a Sony. I do.
Patty, you're not helping your case at all.
Okay. So in my car, I guess.
Wait, let me tell the highlight of the story. Okay. So then she tries to redeem herself by telling me what's on the tape.
Yes.
And it's the readings of Langston Hughes.
Yes. Poetry by Langston.
Poetry.
Read aloud by Ozzie Davis.
Yes.
And, no, Rudy Davis. Rudy no, no.
Ozzie Davis.
Ozzie Davis and Rudy D. Yes.
So she tries to redeem herself by, oh, this is my poetry. Yes. I'm listening to poetry. And I'm like, okay. So she pops it. You pop the tape in, right? Is that what yes. we do? Like, pops the tape in. And there's like two or three words, and then it just stops.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, that side must be done. Then I had to watch her flip the tape.
Oh, she didn't even have auto reverse. I remember when that came out. That's just wrong. Take the pencil and twist it.
Yes.
Maybe the leader tape is stuck.
Oh my God. I have a 96 Honda Accord. That's
going strong, too.
Yes, it is going strong.
That's all right, Patty, as long as it gets you from A to B.
It does. It gets
A to B side.
A
to B side.
Good one.
How many cars in a row is this? I mean, because Craig has been in my Buick before that we no longer have. And I had a 99 Buick I used to drive. I don't know if that might have had a tape deck too, but nobody ever checked. There was one night we were flying down Lakeshore Drive, and there were girls crossing from Oak Street Beach. There should never be pedestrians on Lakeshore Drive. And it was at the curve, and I was like, wow, that's just so dangerous. And then not more than, what would you say, about 3 or 4 days later, I was on my way to the Nick DiGilio movie club. Mm-hmm. The brakes go out. The brakes.
Oh,
I was on a
no.
pedestrian.
That's
like
scary.
I was on a side street. Yes, the brakes go out. Like, not less than a week later after, like, there were pedestrians on Lakeshore Drive that I probably, could have, yes. So.
Well, it's a good thing you had that tape playing the relaxing poetry readings.
Yes.
Stop in the name of love.
In the name of love.
The poetry was, it was very beautiful.
It wasn't, Langston Hughes is amazing.
There was like the tape noise in the background.
good audio quality. Well, you know what? We are reflecting on things that are important to us today. And one of the people that is most important to WGN Radio and our history and our legacy is Ron Santos. And of course, we are celebrating and raising money for JDRF. We're dedicating the day to honor the great Ron Santo and the fight against type 1 diabetes. And you can also make donations during our radiothon. Go to WGNradio.com/JDRF. More than 1.25 million Americans currently battle type 1 diabetes. So help us find a cure. We're going to talk more about this when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
There are some seats right down below us where if fans stand up, they can completely block our view of the plate. And at this moment, a gentleman has stood up, and I cannot see the umpire, the catcher, or the batter. So, Ronnie, take over.
Can you sit down, please?
Three balls.
Can you sit down, please?
Here is the 3-2 pitch on the way to Gonzalez. Fly ball to right. It's going to be caught by Hoffpower. And that ends the inning. We go to the seventh inning here at Petco Park. 3-0 San Diego. We are happy to report that that gentleman has sat down after some gentle persuasion from a certain color commentator.
Well, I mean, it just was ridiculous. Everybody's walking up to him. He'll probably stand up again. You know, they feed everybody down here and... Oh, you couldn't even see home plate.
Oh, Ron Santo. You know what? Ron Santo lived out loud. I don't know how often you can say that about somebody. And I don't know how much of it had to do with being a ball player, part of his own personality, or living his entire life with diabetes and knowing, like, I don't know if there's something about knowing that your life is, it's intensely, you know, vulnerable. So you're like, you know what? This guy's standing up. I'm going to have to go say something to him.
Yeah.
I'm going to yell at him. Just yell at him. That's Dr. Daphne Scott, who joins me in studio. And also joining me live in the Allstate Showcase studio is John Hennessy. And he is, he's a longtime walk champion. Now you are with the with Ford, and they're you guys are the largest partner with JDRF in the world.
Yes, we are. And first of all, thank you so much for having me on behalf of all the local Ford dealers, the Chicagoland Ford dealers. I truly appreciate it, and thank you for emceeing our big event just recently. You did a great job, and it means a ton to all of us.
Well, and I know that you said you weren't able to be there. It was so incredible. And I was at the walk. I actually did the one up in Schaumburg.
Oh, okay.
I was hosting that as well, and it was cold. I don't know which one you went to that day.
I was in Warrenville, and it was chilly.
It was in October or late September. I can't remember.
It was in October.
Because this year is going to be on October 4th, right?
Correct.
And all over the Chicagoland area. And I hosted out in Schaumburg. I think it was like Bussy Woods. Is that the one out there?
Yes.
And it was so, I mean, I had like all kinds of winter gear on. I think people were kind of figuring it would be fall, it might be in the 50s. It was down in the 10s, right?
It's the beauty of Chicago. You never know what you're going to get.
You don't, except that you do know you're going to get some people who are so energetic, whether people were coming out for their friends, for their family. There were teams. There was a Mario, Super Mario team. Everybody had like their Mario shirts on. And they, because one of the kids in the family is a big fan of Mario Brothers. And the strollers were all decked out like space, like speeding cars.
How fun.
Oh, it was a blast.
It is amazing how people will rally around a great cause.
Yeah.
And we have noticed that. And that's one of the benefits that we like. Is we just want to go out there and give something back and help. And especially when it comes to children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, type 1 diabetes affects everybody. And when the Ford dealers got on years ago, 6-7 years ago, it was, you know, basically to say, hey, we want to help educate children, their families, with, you know, the kids that have type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And it's grown to realize that it's not just the kids that suffer. It's all of us that suffer.
Absolutely. I mean, and by all of us, I mean, when we know somebody, and I've met so many people now, and I did, you know, now you have type 1 diabetes.
I do.
How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was 30.
You were 30?
Yeah. So we're finding a bigger segment, a larger segment that, you know, aren't affected at their early age, which is type 1 juvenile when they're born, little, mm-hmm. little kids. There's another segment, type 2, which is usually older and usually has to do with weight issues.
Right.
This segment here is late 20s, early 30s. Not sure how you catch it. It's not in the family genes. And it just, you know, gets sprung upon us later in life.
And what did you think when you found out? I mean, and by the way, did you have any? I know people want to know, how do I know if I have diabetes?
You know, I'm not the smartest or the sharpest in the box here because here's what's happening. So I would drive to work an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And in 96, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I couldn't quench a thirst. So I would stop at my local McDonald's, pick up a large orange drink it on the way home, and I'd still be thirsty. And then, you know, you can't quench that thirst, and you're mm-hmm. constantly urinating. And okay. there's a lot of things going on. You have these terrible night sweats.
Wow.
And you're wondering, what is going on with my life? You're like, you know what? You're just putting in a few extra hours. You know, I just got married, which has nothing to do with me getting diabetes. Let me just say that. The spouse has nothing to do with it. Thank
yes,
God
that,
she was
that
there
disclaimer.
To save my life.
Nice.
Good clarification.
Yes.
Thank you. I in a room of women, I just wanted to make sure there's nothing being thrown at me.
Right.
So.
No.
And then, you know, I started losing weight. And I lost so much weight that my wife looked at me and said, there is something definitely wrong with you. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. They're typical. You know, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong. I'll just keep fighting through it. So to gain weight, I would go home and make a pitcher of milkshakes. So here I am, not having a clue what diabetes
right.
is.
And sure. you're drinking milkshakes?
I'm drinking milkshakes, and I'm drinking sugared soda.
Wow.
So God knows what my number was. And then finally, again, because of my wife, thank God, I mm-hmm. went to my GP and said, hey, I need you to check me out. He says, why are you here? And I said, I lost some weight. I'm not feeling too good. He was like, well, you don't look so bad. Let me do a couple tests and check you out. So I'm sitting there. I've been with him all my life. And he walks in the room. He takes a test. And he walks out. And he says, I'm sure there's nothing wrong. Just relax. I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting around. And he walks in. He says, he's got this look on his face. And he's pale. His eyes are like saucers. I go, oh, my God, what? He goes, how do you feel? I go, I think I feel okay.
He goes, well, the look on your face makes me feel really bad.
He goes, do you want to lay down? I said, why do I need to lie down? And he says, well, it's one of two things. You either have diabetes or you have cancer. And after they said the first one, I didn't hear another word out of
yeah,
his mouth.
Yeah, okay, we're both wondering. I don't know how many doctors ago. Okay, I'm going to ballpark it.
He was in the realm. You know, he was giving me.
I'm going to ballpark it.
I would need him to have a little more information.
You've either sprained your shoulder or you have cancer.
Yes.
I was just saying, I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah. can I get the pill and just, you know, give me what I need to go and let me move on?
Because yes.
I had no clue.
Sure.
You know,
what a diagnosis of diabetes entails.
Because yeah,
we all hear it in the background, you know, we've seen Steel Magnolias and Julia Roberts are shaking.
Right.
Right. And like, that's what it becomes to us. And then when we learn about Ron Santo, what he went through,
yes.
I think it brings it home for us. And all the kids that I saw at Bussy Woods in Schaumburg, you know, the families, I've talked to some people at the awards ceremony. One woman told me that she has an 8-year-old and who was recently diagnosed and all the treatments that they've had to go through. So when you found out, I mean, like, how quickly did you have to start the treatments that, you know, how in depth was it?
The first part was education.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to a nutritionist and said, okay, what do I need to do? And unfortunately, my diet probably consisted of mainly carbs, mm-hmm. carbohydrates, which turns into sugar right away.
Okay.
I'm the type of guy that could skip a meal and go right to dessert.
Yeah.
So it was not, you know, unfounded for me to pick up a bigger square pie and maybe eat half of it in a sitting. So
sure.
They said, all right, John, you got to balance that meal plan a little bit better. Exercise needs to be part of it. And then he started me on pills, to say, okay, maybe I can control this thing with taking a couple pills. I mean, you got to remember, this is back in 1996.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
The pills were fairly new. The education was coming on because they just started a study that said if you control your diabetes, mm-hmm. you should be able to live a long, healthy life. And they just started this.
And how scary are those words when you're 30 or so and you're like, should be able to, right? That's daunting.
Not will be able to.
Right.
It is. And you know what? And when I found out, we just had my first daughter. Mm-hmm. So you know what? There was, at that point, you just figure, okay, let me figure out what I have to do. Let me take care of this thing and let me move on.
Right.
It was more of an inconvenience for me than anything else. I just had to figure out a way to live with it and work right. through it. So between the dietitian, the nutritionist, my doctor, mm-hmm. we started working on getting the numbers down. So when a normal person can eat anything, so you guys can eat whatever you want, and your sugars will fall somewhere in the range of 80 to 120. Eat as many candy bars, as many pies as you want, you should fall there.
That sounds about right.
As many candy bars as you want.
So now I go and eat that same thing, my sugar is going to be 200 to 300.
Wow,
the problem with a higher sugar number, which you guys all understand from the radiothon and the walks, mm-hmm. is it causes long-term complications. When they diagnosed me, the number they saw was over 700.
How are you functioning?
You know what? Your body unfortunately gets used to it, and everybody's got a different threshold.
Man.
So my threshold was higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, I was lightheaded. You know, I didn't see clearly. I wasn't functioning properly, not sleeping well. So all that stuff, but you put it aside and you can't, which is foolish. Mm-hmm. You should listen to your body.
Right. John, do you mind if you hang out a little bit longer with us? Because I want to make sure that people know that you worked with Ford to bring the family sponsorship program about
please.
In Illinois.
If you'll have me, I'd love to stay.
Yeah, please hang out with us because you guys have the largest partner of JDRF.
Yes.
And, this is really such a magnificent fundraiser. The walks are great. The camaraderie, the community, just the whole connection with something that's so important to so many people. And I was going to say, when I was at the award ceremony in Rosemont this past a few months ago, when I met this woman who had one child who was diagnosed, she was very scared about maybe one of her other children developing diabetes as well. And what you were talking about is education. I think that's part of what what your goal is as part of JDRF.
That is correct.
So I want to make sure that people know where to go to donate. You can go to wgnradio.com/JDRF to give your support. And we are going to find out more with John when we come back in just a few moments. And I'm going to donate because I know that everyone has been doing this during the show. Matt Bubala said he did it in 45 seconds. So I want to see how quickly I can do it. But I'm not logged in yet. So that doesn't count. I think that once I get to the website, that counts from there. We are hanging out with Dr. Daphne Scott and John Hennessy again. Now, what's the Ford dealership that you are with or that you...
I am...
You own the Riverview Ford dealership. You're not with. You own.
I do own Riverview Ford in Oswego, Illinois.
Let's talk some escorts and Focus when we come back. Not escorts. They don't have escorts anymore.
Holy
the
smokes,
Ford
you
escort,
update you.
As long as there's a CD player in it.
maybe a Focus and an Escape.
Maybe an Escape. I need an there Escape. You go. I definitely need an Escape after this with John Hennessy and Daphne Moore.
Pat, I got an email, but the gentleman did not... He's from Ellicott City, Maryland. And he's been a Chicagoan for 41 years, and now he's been out there for 18 years, and somebody's screaming down there. They ought to shoot him.
I was like a lead into my CDs about having somebody get shot. Here's a pitch in there for a strike, 0-1.
Well, I mean, that's idiot.
That always sparks a lot of sales.
Well...
Here's the 0-1 fouled away off to the left. Go ahead, Ron.
You know, I'm very much on edge today. I don't know what it is. I think once we win this game, I'll be fine.
It's a new marketing tool.
It is. It gets the attention of people.
It got mine.
Ron Santo, nobody lived life louder, bigger. Nobody had a bigger heart than Ron Santo. And he was so passionate about baseball, about the Cubs. And he was also very passionate about finding a cure for JDRF. And, the Junior Diabetes Research Foundation has been doing so much work. And in the last few years, the amount to which, you know, the attention, the participation has really grown. I was there at the walk this past fall. This year's walk will be held on October 1st. 4th with locations including the Chicago Lakefront, Libertyville, Schaumburg, Palos Hills, East Peoria, and Warrenville. There will also be a walk in Northwest Indiana on September 27th in Merrillville. And every year this gets bigger and bigger. I mean, which how many years have you been doing the walk since the very beginning?
I've been doing it for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The Ford Group has started back in 07, mm-hmm. 07, 08. So the Ford Fund, which is a separate entity of Ford Motor Company, mm-hmm. approached the Chicagoland dealers on a project called Operation Goodwill. They wanted to do something good in the community. So they approached our advertising group, the Ford Dealer Advertising Fund, and I was lucky enough to be on that board. And a couple of guys, myself and Colin Wickstrom, were asked to pick a organization that all the dealers could get behind
right.
to help. And I had asked Colin if JDRF would be one of them he'd consider. And once, obviously, he found out that I was involved with it personally,
sure.
we definitely went down that path. And we started with a few dealers. And what we did is we asked the dealers to help families raise money. So the dealers would raise up to $1,500, $2,500, which would be then given to that family mm-hmm. for their walk team. And every dealer does it differently.
Sure.
You know, and if you could imagine, we have over 200 dealers in the Chicagoland area, and every dealer has a friend, a family member inflicted with something that they want to help with. So to reach out and say, hey, we have this one cause we want to back.
Right.
We weren't sure how the response would be, and it was phenomenal. Wow. So I think we started with maybe 15 or 20 dealers, and each dealer we said, listen, if you just help one team raise some money, because it's tough to get started.
Sure.
You don't know. It's hard to knock on a friend's door. Mm-hmm. It's hard to ask family members, right? But everybody wants to help. So some dealers had some of the Bears players come out and sign autographs
right.
to raise money. Some had picnics that they did where they had the kids come out and have different events that raised money. They came up with a lot of different ideas. So it started growing from there to the point where we are today that includes not only Illinois, it's parts of Iowa, it's Wisconsin. We have over 119 dealers. Mm-hmm. We've raised over $200,000+.
Right.
And I think if you ask any dealer, they'll tell you, there's nothing better than working with these families.
Oh, absolutely. And it does have an impact. When I was at the award ceremony in Rosemont at the Hilton over there, the Hyatt, they were there was a scientist, one of the leading doctors in Chicago, giving a speech, and he had a presentation, and he had these slides. And there were some kids that were really paying attention because they're clearly affected. And there were other kids who also probably, dealing with this, but were, goofing around a little bit, because it started to seem like this guy was going to quiz us or something. But the progress of technology was what I was most impressed by, and because there are pumps, there are now sort of these automated systems that they can have, that because you were telling me that you've made the switch yourself, John.
Yes, like yourself, that's going to go from a box TV to a flat screen. I went from
a 96 Honda to a Ford Escape. Sure.
I went from Insulin pens thinking I had great control
right.
to moving to a pump recently within the past year, and truly lowering my sugar numbers and getting better control and better health. So
it's with the pump, does it go according to what your blood levels are, the sugar levels?
It does. It's
insulin is what it's measuring, right?
Correct. It actually gives you doses of insulin. So when you ingest carbohydrates, it creates sugar in your body. And since mm-hmm. your pancreas can't produce the insulin to dissolve it, to break down that sugar, you need to artificially put the insulin in. That's what the pump does.
Right.
So you put how many carbs you're eating, the pump will then put that into your system over time
sure.
to break down that sugar. And it does it 24 hours. They call it an artificial pancreas program.
Oh.
There's a continuous glucose monitor that goes along with this pump that's on your body. So if you guys are too young, but if you go back in the 70s with Steve Austin, the $6 million man,
with
these new parts on him, that's
mm-hmm.
me. So
okay.
I got these
there
new technological parts on. Yeah, I'm not stronger, faster, but maybe a little healthier.
Sure.
But that pump kind of monitors you 24 hours.
Right.
And it brings in insulin. And with this new monitor, the glucose monitor, if your sugar gets too low, it'll actually shut the pump off. So you can't get any more insulin. And if your sugar drops too low, you can go into a coma.
Wow.
So it helps prevent you. If my wife was calling in now, she'd tell you that there's nothing more aggravating than this monitor, because in the middle of the night, if your sugar goes up, it starts beeping.
Oh, no.
And warning you that your sugar's going up, saying you better take a little more insulin to bring it down. And if you ignore it, not only does it beep, it vibrates and starts getting louder and louder to the point where you're getting kicked in the head, saying,
right.
shut that thing off.
Oh, man.
But
right.
the idea behind it is it helps you control it better
sure.
so you can live a longer, better life.
Well, and you must, you know, the concept of before and after diagnosis is yeah. Something that you're very familiar with. And we can only imagine what it's like when you have a child. You know, whenever your life is altered and the path in which you thought you were on is now going in a different direction, it must be so terrifying as a parent, much less even as an adult, when you're like, I'm sorry, what was I was doing this, now what's happening?
And I'm sorry, it's not about me. It really is about
I know
the
it's
kids.
Not.
And it's,
but you have some grasp on what it must be like for a parent, because you also are a parent, you have children. So knowing
yes.
what you go through and wanting to help these families is an important aspect of this.
Well, I'll tell you, the team that we sponsor is Team Left Eye, which is a friend of mine, Jeff Goodall. He was diagnosed with diabetes as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Team Left Eye stands for his left eye, which he's had numerous surgeries on because of the complications from diabetes at an early age.
Right.
So you could see the problems with that. And his family, Jeff is, you know, Jeff, I'll tell you right now, you're in your early 40s, maybe not even 40 yet. And his family still worries every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got a wonderful parents, wonderful sisters that are out there, those walks, they're doing the fundraisers because
right.
they want to see their brother get cured.
Sure.
And he's on the same program. And when these parents come up to us, like Ford Motor Company sponsored a program they had called Family Days. And it was for families of newly diagnosed children. This was a few years back, and they'd go out to Great America. And these parents would walk in and really, and I understand it completely, scared to death, like you said, Patty. Their eyes are like saucers.
Yeah.
And all they want is to soak up as much knowledge as possible.
Right.
What? Because a child can't tell you what's going on.
Right.
A child can't say, I feel a little lightheaded, or I've got the shakes and I'm sweating, so I'm a little low. They don't know what's going on. So the parents got to figure it out. It's very, very hard.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
That would be really hard.
You know, when you're dealing with this, and I also almost feel like a haunted house too, because you never know what's coming around the next corner.
It is. Somebody told me many years ago that whatever happens to you, whatever you feel, just blame it on the diabetes. If you're tired,
right,
angry, you're emotional,
right.
you're sore.
Well, when you mention that too, I think that for parents, it's hard to not blame themselves, especially if they feel like they've missed something. And by the way, for people who may not be familiar, diabetes is not something that has anything to do with lifestyle or diet.
No.
And there's currently nothing you can do to prevent it. And a lot of parents will feel guilt. They'll feel regret. And really, that's part of the battle of moving forward. It's something, sometimes it's not about what's happened. Now you have to know, you have to arm yourself with information, with a plan. And that's really what you guys are involved with JDRF.
Absolutely. One of the greatest things about JDRF is 80% of the money raised mm-hmm. goes towards funding a cure.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go to pay for administrative costs or anything else. It really is trying to find a solution for all these people afflicted with this disease.
Yep.
And there's over a million people that have diabetes.
More than 1.25 million. It's like he has my talking points, but he knows them by heart, and I'm just reading them. Because we are, so here's, by the way, when I did the walk in Schaumburg, like they had all these things, and like everyone's excited, and the kids are dancing, and we've got music going, and I'm like, we're dedicating the day, you know, and I'm trying to read all the stats, and I'm like, no, this is really important. So I do want our listeners to know that we are dedicating the day to honor the great Ron Santo and the fight against type 1 diabetes, and you can go to radio, WGN Radio, go to WGNradio.com/JDRF. And I did. I made a donation, and Daphne said it was about a minute, so which means I wasn't as fast as Mabubala.
Well, we were talking, and so
yes.
It was very distracting.
But and also, you can use PayPal, which makes it easy for me because I'm already linked up. So very easy. Go to WGNradio.com/JDRF. Each dollar raised from our JDRF Radiothon brings us one step closer to finding a cure for diabetes. As John mentioned, there are more than 1.25 million Americans currently battling type 1 diabetes. Help us find a cure by making a donation. And the JDRF One Walk in honor of our WGN Radio Walk of Fame inductee Ron Santo is Sunday, October 4th. Create your own team. I mean, that's really the big part of this too, is making your own team.
Yeah,
I think I know my next thing. I think I'm going to put a team together for the next JDRF walk. Again, visit radio. I'm so like tongue tied tonight. Visit WGNradio.com/JDRF to make the donation. Find out more about making your own team. 40,000 Americans are diagnosed with type 1 diabetes each year. It affects both children and adults and has nothing to do with diet or lifestyle. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for finding us pretty late. The Allstate Showcase Studio is a buzz because we have Lily Kay and Craig. Can you please tell me the Jazz Quartet's name as well? I know that they could tell me, but I need to hear it through my head so that yes.
You know, I didn't catch it actually.
The Jazz Quartet's name is anybody? Nobody knows their own Jazz Quartet.
No, it's just Lily Kay. Oh,
Lily Kay and Lily Kay Band. I thought it was another name. Lily Kay and Lily Kay Band. Well, that's even easier. No, it's Lily Kay and Lily Kay Band. I like that even better. It streamlines everything for me. Dr. Daphne Scott joins me in studio. She is a positivity expert. And John Hennessy of Riverview Ford Dealership, who is partnered with the JDRF and has helped create a program that has linked together about 119 dealerships across the state of Illinois to make sure that families get the information, working really toward a cure. And we have a listener who wanted to join the conversation. I don't want to leave Bill on the line hanging on too much. Hey, Bill, how are you doing?
Above average, thank you.
Do you have headphones, John? That's the only way you're going to be able to hear Bill on the line. Please. Let me see if those are plugged in. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Oh, first, his dealership is really good. It's 5 minutes away from my house.
That's a good dealership? There you go. Dealership. You live near Oswego?
Boulder Hill.
Okay, there you go.
My neighbor.
Yeah, there you go. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Bill.
My daughter was diagnosed a year and a half. She's 27 now, and I can relate to the pump that he has. It will scream if you don't do something.
Something has to be done. How are you? How are you doing post diagnosis?
Me? My daughter's doing outstanding. I mean, the best thing they ever came up with was the pump, which, like he says, is an artificial pancreas.
Right.
Hoping for the cure, but I mean that's down the line. Hopefully soon. But,
right.
But. We diagnosed her at a year and a half, and she's...
she was a year and a half old, not a year and a half ago.
No, a year and a half old, we diagnosed
her. Wow, how scary for you as a young dad.
Well, I knew all the symptoms, and I told my wife to take her in. She goes, why? I said, you really don't want to know, just take her in. And sure enough.
What were the symptoms that you were noticing, Bill?
Well, she was potty trained really young, and she was starting to, wet herself and wanting something to drink all the time, and... flags went up, and it's
wow.
Well, that's a great job on your part finding that out so early, Bill.
Just luck.
Yes.
But, like he says, with a young one, it's up to the parents because they can't communicate with
you. They can't tell
you. But, you just test all the time and go from there and got her on the pump as soon as she was willing to get on it, and off we went.
Well, now this is almost over 25 years ago. What was it like, did you know other parents? Did you have a network of people you get information from?
Well, yeah, we joined a support group, but the pediatrician we had was amazing. Work cooperated with me, and they let me go into classes. We went every day for about 3 weeks to learn how to inject, how to look for signs, how to test, everything.
Wow.
Hey, Bill, at school, how did she handle that with the teachers and the other kids and that?
Oh, it was fine. The funny part was, she's about 3 years old. You'd go into Jewel or somewhere, they'd want to give her a cookie, and she'd just look at it and say, I can't have that. I'm diabetic.
Yeah. Amazing. She educated herself.
Yeah.
She knew what she needed to do.
Yeah, she was already well equipped. And that's the thing, too, is that, it's a kid with a lot of confidence. Go, no, thank you. Yeah, it's not good for me. No sugar. No, thank you.
That's when I always looked at him and said, I'll take it.
I was just going to say, the adults have the problem with that.
That's
the kids
right.
are stronger than us.
Have you ever had a chance to join one of our JDRF walks with Ron Santo?
Oh, yeah. I've done many of the walks and met him a couple times and had friends that worked with GN. So got to meet him one-on-one, and it was, he's a great guy.
He was a great guy, and it's such a big party. I had never been until this last year, and I was blown away by how much fun it was.
Yeah, we always did the one in Naperville when he had it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we hope to see you out again. It's going to be on October 4th this year, so maybe we'll run into each other.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you so much, Bill. Talk to you again soon. See, and that's the thing, is that you have to believe there are parents, though, for whom this is crushing.
Yeah.
It sounds like Bill was ready. He seemed emotionally prepared, and a lot of parents aren't quite ready to get that. And then sometimes it's kind of like, I make the comparison to finding out you have a child with autism. When you find that out, it's not easy to reconcile what you thought your future was going to be like and what you now have to do. And some parents can, step up, and other parents, it takes a little bit of time to know that it's not about what's happened. It's about what I'm going to do.
That's right. Yeah. I can imagine there's a point where it's your child.
Yeah.
There's so much happening, you could freeze, but you don't have that choice.
You don't have that choice. Again, we are honoring and dedicating this day to the great Ron Santo and the fight against type 1 diabetes. To make a donation for our Radiothon, go to WGNradio.com/JDRF. More when we come back on 720 WGN. It has been an honor and a pleasure to welcome John Hennessy of Riverview Ford Dealership. And where can people find your dealership, sir?
We are located on Route 30 in Oswego, across from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Okay. And because I really want to test drive a Ford Escape. Not an Escort. I know that you don't like those anymore. And I do like the Fiesta, but with two kids, you kind of want to have a little bit of leg room, some room for the boys to grow. Yes.
With all the advances in technology and safety, it may not be a bad idea to move up from that 96 Honda.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, we can consider it, you know?
Does your car, does it have a cassette player in it?
Oh.
Because
can we retrofit my cassette player from my 96 Honda Accord?
It necessitates a cassette player.
I thought you were going to say 8-track, but a cassette, we could probably work something around that. That's all right.
You have to pay for an upgrade to have a cassette player.
So, like, is there a way, I've always wondered if there was a way to link up my phone to the car. Like, is there a way
Is there a way to make my the Ford Sync system, hands-free, it's beautiful technology. You just pair the phone right to it, you talk right through voice commands through the phone.
This is crazy talk.
Yeah,
I had to flip my tape over today, John Hennessy.
Oh my God.
I'm going to show you documented evidence.
Can I come out and test drive? We should do a video of my just going out there and being dumbfounded by the technology that you have.
You know what? I'd love
can
to
we,
see
can
it.
Can we bring my car, pull my car up right next to like your one of your new cars?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's
see.
We're going to coordinate that. I think we need to go out to Ford in River. The Riverview Ford in near Oswego on Route 30 across from the Farm and Fleet.
There you go. You can stop at Farm and Fleet, get some farm supplies if you need to while you're out there, and you know.
Excellent. And do you know which walk you're going to be doing in October?
I will be doing the walk in Warrenville.
In Warrenville.
That's where my team, Left Eye, walks, and we walk with them. So.
And that's October 4th. There's going to be a walk at various locations, including the Chicago Lakefront, Libertyville, Schaumburg, Palos Hills, East Peoria, and as you mentioned, Warrenville. Yep. There will also be one in Northwest Indiana on September 27th, and that's in Merrillville. And you can go to WGNradio.com/JDRF to make a donation right now. It's all linked up. You can use your credit card. You can use PayPal. You can use a checking account. And that sounds also like you can do anything.
Just any type of money.
It's just very easy to do, and you know that you want to get involved. We can't thank you enough, John Hennessy, for bringing this program, making sure that more people know about it. And I know that it's personal for you, but it seems like you've really done so much to help the community. Thank you so much.
I've done so little, and I cannot appreciate and thank you enough for having us on. And again, all the Chicagoland Ford dealers, really appreciate all your help throughout the year, so thank you.
And it's about families, and it's also wonderful to pay tribute to Ron Santo, who was such a big and looming figure in all of this, and you know, apparently had a problem with fans that got in the way.
He did not mind pointing it out.
You know what? He didn't like having diabetes in his way, and he did not like having a fan in his way.
No, he
was not taking any hostages. Thank you so much, John.
I truly appreciate you having me out here.
I'll see you out in Oswego very soon.
You got it.
What you say?
I said he's good to me. He's strong, he's deep, and his name is Tommy. Tommy.
Okay, I could just listen to this. Only the great news is, in just moments, we can hear Lily Kay herself, songstress. And I'm not going to say how old you are, because I think that she's young enough to tell us how old she is,
yeah.
Daphne.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. I mean, because like when you're younger, you are very proud of it. But I think that your music is ageless. But when people know how young you are, they're like, get out of here. And I'm sure that people make comparisons. Do you enjoy comparisons to Adele, or is that something that kind of you go, I'm my own creation?
I mean, she's an amazing artist, but I don't think I'd compare our styles necessarily.
And I wouldn't say style, but I'm thinking about
the youth singer thing.
No.
Your voice.
Because they've done studies about the like neurological reaction people have when they hear Adele singing. So it's actually something scientific.
So scientifically,
you trigger the emotions, and where I just
right on.
Just got my attention.
Yes,
put it that
yes.
way.
I'll take it
exactly.
Fine, Patty. One of her inspirations is another favorite of the show, Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, all
let's
time.
Go, let's just go right there.
All time favorite.
We play Whoopi all the time.
Oh yeah,
we don't play Whoopi. That's.
That's that a whole sounds, new spin on the show.
That sounds so wrong. Are you from Chicago originally?
I'm from Milwaukee.
You're from Milwaukee?
But I've lived in Chicago for about 6 years now, mm-hmm. and the majority of the band is from Chicago.
Okay.
One other Milwaukeean.
She kind of has that way of saying, I'm from Milwaukee, as though, like, don't get mad at me, and yeah. I would not.
You don't have to apologize for it.
No, not at all. It's a great place.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And clearly, if a wonderful, wonderful artist like yourself is from Milwaukee, and then you came here, yeah. I think all is good.
Yeah.
What are some of your influences? Like growing up, you know, what did you listen to that really spoke to you?
A lot of Motown. My mom definitely played a lot of Motown. So Gladys Knight, a lot of the Spinners, of course, you know, Aretha Franklin. And then a lot of classic rock, like Steely Dan as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Steely Dan. Do you know, Steely Dan is playing at Ravinia this year. You know, they were just a studio band, right?
Let's go.
Well, I mean, some of the best studio musicians ever.
Yeah, wow. Ever. Thank you.
I think the three of us would go. Maybe we bring
Craig. The three of us are going to go?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
The band, you have too many band members. I don't know how you all travel. Just a lot of dudes.
They travel well. Look at all their gear. They seem to...
Yeah, it works. Yes. It works. We can all fit in a van and...
I almost feel bad having, like, my board here in their way. There's so much equipment in the studio. I'm like, am I in your way? This is pretty spectacular. So you grew up listening to a lot of Motown, Steely Dan, things like that. The thing about being a talented performer, at what point do you go, oh, I have this? Or is it people telling you how gifted you are?
I think with me, it started with people kind of giving me the idea that I should sing. Mm-hmm. It was always fun for me. But, you know, I think it was vocal teachers and music educators and things that really, like, put that seed in there. Like, you should do this.
And was there any point with all those teachers where it became work instead of fun?
Oh, no.
Never?
No.
See,
that's
impressive.
There's a special, you know, thing about arts education, and I think the teachers are definitely so committed to what they're doing, and they really believe in it. So it's not, you know, some teachers hate their jobs, which is unfortunate, but right. they were really, I was fortunate enough to have teachers that really cared.
This is in grade school, high school? What kind of?
Grade school, we had Mr. Anderson, and he came once a week and just kind of sang with us, and it was just a little thing. And then middle school and high school, I went to performing arts schools in mm-hmm. Milwaukee, mm-hmm. so it was more serious every day, and yeah.
Yeah, that.
Wow.
I know. Whenever you think of performing arts school, what do you think right away? Fame.
Yeah,
fame. I'm gonna live forever.
I actually just had a vision of all the nerds.
Oh,
but I was a musician. I was in band. I played the drums.
All,
by the way,
is it all? Is it all? Why all nerds?
Well, oh, art school kids are all nerds.
See, we always got made fun. I got made fun of for being in band.
Oh, we didn't get made fun of. It's just obvious we're nerds.
Oh, really? Is it? See, and like, as I get nervous, like, Griffin is, he's my son who is 11 years old. He's always in his imagination. Like, he's a big storyteller. So I get nervous because he's still at that age where he's vulnerable to, like, he still would play make-believe games, but none of his classmates do that anymore. Like, about a year ago, that was done. Do you remember having friends like that who just wanted to draw everybody into storytelling?
I feel like that was me.
I was just going to say, I think I was the friend.
Were you the friend?
I'm pretty sure.
You just roll, you're like, yeah. You know what he did to my husband? He wanted to play, he wanted everyone to audition for Kermit. So Steve was going to play Kermit, and it was all the Muppets auditioning, and Griffin was going to do all the voices. And he goes, you be Kermit, and everyone's going to audition for you. So Steve, my husband, starts doing the voice, and Griffin stops him. He goes, is that the voice you're going to do?
Right? Really? That's it? Okay, Dad.
Yeah. No, and he goes, you know what? I'll just do all the voices.
He's like, I have it in my mind. You're not doing
you're
it
not.
Right.
He was doing, who's the, it's not a bird, but he's an alien. Oh my gosh, I can't believe.
It's not a bird, but
Gonzo.
He's an alien.
He was doing Gonzo.
Gonzo.
Yes, okay. I'm doing this. By the way, this is great radio if you just do a hook nose.
Everyone can see that.
Did you get this?
Yeah,
from...
I got it. I was like, a crab? I don't know.
We were at the park today and he was doing Gonzo stunts. I mean, do you, you know, being a musician, do you do a lot of your own writing of lyrics and music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I at least, I mean, I write all my music as far as lyrics and melody go, but I have amazing musicians in my band that mm-hmm. make the songs what they are.
Well, if it's anything like what we heard with Tommy a moment ago, just that piece that we played was astounding.
Yeah, Tommy started as a small little simple duo between me and Will, a keyboard player, and it turned into that big grandiose thing, and that's kind of the process of how the songs go.
Yeah. Well, and when you are songwriting, I mean, is it, do you imagine it, you know, how it's going to come across musically, or is it still more about your own storytelling and you figure it out as you go?
I figure it out as I go, right. Definitely, because the overall productions aren't only my ideas, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm a very mediocre keyboard player at best. Can't touch a guitar. But, you know, I can bring my really rough ideas.
Sure.
And then they'll kind of help me transform them.
Right. So
and
it's all about it becomes, collaboration.
Yeah, yeah. It becomes, you know, the final product.
So. But it has to start with you. Yes, Craig?
Well, and then, Patty, they have a show tomorrow at Shuba's, correct? You guys have a show. And then you have an album release party later this month.
Yeah, we're doing our album release show at the Bottom Lounge on April 25th.
How awesome is that? So
that'll be fun. You
Bottom
should all come.
Lounge. Yes, we should. We just saw one of our favorite bands last week. We're collecting bands as we go. That's what we're doing on
nice.
The show.
I'm pretty late.
We saw Fleeting Suns. And is this your first album release?
Yeah, this is the debut album. It'll be on iTunes April 21st.
I'm writing all this.
Debut album.
So great. And Ruby. What time does the show at Shuba's tomorrow night?
Shuba's tomorrow night. I think doors are at 7. We're playing with The Suffers. They're a great soul band out of Houston. They just played David Letterman and killed it.
Yeah.
And so
the,
yeah.
And the Bottom Lounge on April 25th with the album dropping on iTunes on the 21st.
Yeah.
We're going to
throw
things.
In all the dates at you.
Well, and what's really cool about Lily is you've heard her on a lot of other stuff with a lot of artists before, but this jazz influence is just new and it's your own kind of sound, right, Lily? You've been playing with a lot of people, Chance the Rapper, quite a few other famous people here in the city.
Yeah, I've done a lot of hip-hop collaborations. So like with Chance the Rapper, Vic Mensa, MC Tree, but... You know, I've really wanted to get back into my original influences of jazz and soul for the debut album. And so it's all live instrumentation with me and the guys that are here in the studio tonight.
And the album is Ruby, which is going to be on April 21st. I think we're almost ready to hear some. Oh, no. Are we going to be able to do this now or a little bit later? Because I know we have something coming up. Let's break first and more with Lily Kay and the Lily Kay Band. She's pretty cool. She's 23. Yeah. I'll go ahead and say.
I'm 56.
Busted.
There you go. See, that's what you do. You overshoot. 56. Well. I don't think I've ever been so excited to have a performer about to perform live because I'm excited listening to that cut, which is Summertime Valentine.
Yeah.
And it's Lily Kay. And in just a few moments after the news, we're going to hear Lily Kay and the Lily Kay Band. How did you find all these musicians?
Fate.
Craigslist?
Yeah. Found them on Craigslist.
I think that fate and Craigslist are often how things are done these days.
I looked up kittens and they showed up.
Aww.
They're all so sweet.
Yes. They love milk. They love milk and just under the chin. Just a little bit under the chin.
There you go. No, I just, I've known Cullen, a guitar player, since high school. I went to college with Matt, bass player, and I met Will, our keyboard player, at a jam session who introduced me to our drummer, Myron.
Oh, there you go. Wow, that is a connected dots right
and
there.
And Will has actually been in our studio before.
I thought Will sat looking at me. I introduced myself to him. I'm like, why do I know him?
He's part of the Sean Maxwell Alliance.
Oh, welcome back, sir. That was a great night as well. This is very exciting. Well, we were like, you didn't say it's my second time. You're very nice to have not said you've met me before. You could have said something.
He's a sweetheart. I sold you a kitten. He's a kitten.
Not this time.
I don't know how manly that makes a guy feel when you said he's like a
lion.
Yes. Like a lion.
I fixed it.
A lion who's very, very polite.
Raw. Where did you go to college, Lily?
Columbia.
Oh, you went to Columbia. So you've been here for a bit.
Yeah, I've been here for 6-ish years.
Coming from Milwaukee to go to school at Columbia, did you live downtown? Because that's a big culture change. I know that, you know, Milwaukee's not a small town by any stretch.
I also haven't lived in Milwaukee my whole life. I've kind of bounced around a bit. I lived in Chicago when I was younger as well. So it's always been like a second home to me.
Okay.
So I was kind of used to it already. Oh, but yeah, I got to live in a cool high rise when I was on campus at Columbia.
Nice.
Like floor to ceiling windows. And
I think
something that's ridiculously expensive that I stayed in for like a couple months and then moved far away
somewhere
to
affordable.
A more affordable place.
Sure. Which is also part of what you should do. I think it's one of my regrets is never living downtown in a high rise as a youngin.
How old are you? Youngin in a dorm.
Youngin,
you rascals.
Well, is there part of that? Aren't you glad that you lived in a high rise that you could get up and look at the city?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It definitely
was. Do you have aspirations to do that again someday and be able to live in a high rise?
Maybe. I kind of like living a bit out of the city, though. I live in like the Edgewater neighborhood now.
Okay, sure.
And it's still close enough to, you know, you hop on the Red Line, you're right downtown. But it's a really great neighborhood, amazing restaurants. And
do you have some place that you go to write, or do you have, I mean, is there some place at home?
No, I don't really plan it. It just kind of happens. I'm usually doing something, and then I'll have to go like in a bathroom and record a voice memo or something.
Right. And that's and the woman in the stall next to you is like, what?
Yeah, she's like, are you
with this really like beautiful, sexy like voice?
Yeah. You make interesting bathroom noises.
Do you sing it? Do you go into a stall and sing
it? Yeah, I'll like whisper sing it. And
I think you should just sing. What do they care?
Yeah, you're never going to see these people again.
No. That's very true. Something at the end of, if I was in a stall and I heard a miraculous voice like yours, I'm like,
would you stay in longer?
I would. I'd be like, I don't know what's happening right now, but this is pretty cool.
Could you hand me some toilet paper? I seem to have run out.
That would be so awkward. Because I've never walked into a bathroom stall and been like working on a bit, like, you know? Like, remember when we were kids and people had, you know, candy cigarettes?
What's up with all the traffic? Patty's in there working out a new routine.
I mean, what else were they going to have? Like heroin needles with sugar water in them? It's not the same. I think there's something beautiful about being a
musician.
It's
not the same.
No.
It would not be the same.
No, comics. As a comic, I'd be like, you know, and some women use their foot to kick the flush. But that's any better. Yes, I do stand up comedy. Yes, I'm trying to imagine creating in a bathroom. I love that you go and do that. No, I think that's.
I would love to hear you just in a stall, just working on a new bit.
Well,
just
do the bathroom in here. You might be in luck. Yes.
Yeah, so. Recrafting it. You know, getting the wording just right for like 10 minutes in a stall.
They should even have a jam session. I mean, the acoustics are probably amazing.
Bathroom acoustics are brilliant.
Why are they so brilliant?
I don't know. It's all the natural reverb.
The porcelain.
The porcelain.
It's the porcelain. Yes, that's it.
I'm just saying.
She's a scientist, folks.
There's got to be something to it. It has no absorption to it, right? It's not like...
I can't disagree with you because it happens in every bathroom.
Right.
I sound amazing in there.
What about stairwells? I would think that stairwells have amazing acoustics. We've been told by the little band, the little family band.
Yeah, stairwells can be cool. Sometimes it's a bit too much reverb for my preference because it has a bunch of different things it's bouncing off.
It's also the water in the porcelain. I think that there's something
for
the tank.
Yeah.
You've really narrowed this down to just being the toilet. Like, they don't think the sink has any impact. It's just
we got to switch all the chairs in studio to toilets now.
We now have to go and record some of her singing in our bathroom and see if it's just one bathroom or does it have to be a whole slew of stalls.
Could it just be a toilet? Could we just put a toilet?
I think
that's a first. I don't think we've ever asked a guest to go to the bathroom and do a video recording for us.
So that's not going to happen.
Weirdest music interview ever.
You're welcome.
Right.
You're
here.
Never going to, you know, you wouldn't do this on NPR. I'm just saying, this doesn't happen. This conversation doesn't happen.
If you did, it would sound like this. What about a toilet? Have you ever sat on a toilet and recorded your voice?
Only when I'm overseas.
And the water goes the opposite direction, doesn't it? I knew it.
I don't even know what to do anymore. This is you know what? This show just gets more and more fun. I blame myself for the
looniness. I blame you.
I take you all to that deep, dark place where we talk about toilets and how singing sounds there. Lily Kay, I think that I need to clean the slate with you for a moment so that we can set the stage for the music that you're going to be performing and take us out of the arena of, because look, the reason I asked about what it's like for you to create is that then, you know, what listeners are going to hear at home in their cars and in their bedrooms. You know, people sometimes fall asleep to what's going on WGN, and we love that we're there with them at night. We do. And the thing is, the music we've heard, the two clips that we've already heard, are so magical, and I look forward to hearing you live in the studio. So we're going to set everything up and take a break here. You are listening pretty late, and I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is our pleasure to welcome Lily Kay and the Lily Kay Band with their song One More Time.
Think that your face is nice and I want to look at it again. I think that your lips compliment mine, and I know that I just made you grin. I know that you're the one. I know that you're the one. your face is nice, and I want to look at it again. I think that your features compliment mine, and I know that I just made you grin. Oh, you know that us alone don't get your fingers running down my spine. You ain't going nowhere unless you coming over here tonight. Oh, one more time. Oh, baby, be my lover. One more time. Oh, say there is no other. One more time. Oh, baby, be my lover. One more time. I know that you're the one, and I think conversation's nice. I want to talk to you again and again and again. I wanna read your body language. Yeah. Your skin press against my skin. Oh, I think me and you is nice. And I remember way back when how good you used to feel. I want you again. Oh, you know that us alone together, those tingles running down my spine. Oh, 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 so you ain't going nowhere unless you coming over here tonight. Oh, one more time. Oh, baby, be my love. One more time. Oh, say there is no other. One more time. Oh, baby, be my lover. One more time. Oh, say there is no other. I got a feeling that I can't quit. No, 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 no. I got a feeling that I can't quit. I got a feeling that I can't quit. No, 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 no. One more time, baby, be my lover. One more time, say there is no other. One more time.
Lily Kay Band with One More Time. So the reason why I think when, you know, you say, well, she's 23, it's not because, you know, she's so young or whatever, and I get nervous when people tell their age because as I get older, I'm like, it's a bit dead. But there is something about having that kind of access to the emotions of others to sort of create that sensation of, I don't know what just happened, but it was fantastic.
You're going to do the rest of the show by yourself. Okay. I'm leaving.
That's all right. Craig, you're okay?
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
That was amazing.
He said, yes. Those of you,
Lily, you are fantastic. The band sounds great. That was awesome.
I'm going to... I need to have this whole album
right now. We need to be outdoors.
I need
like
a drink
beer.
Of water.
Yes.
Yeah, that was... And when I mentioned... And the reason I had mentioned Adele earlier, only from the two little clips we played, hardly any of it, it really is the emotions that you conjure just through the range of not just your music, but your vocal quality. That's what I had been talking about. And not the similarity of the style.
Right.
Just the ability to reach that part of our minds and hearts and go, I think something amazing.
And I think I have tingles down my spine.
Yeah, so there was something. Nice. There were fingers, there were tingles, there's all kinds of things. Again, that's Lily Kay and the Lily Kay Band. And we can follow her on Lily Kay 421, because that's when your album drops.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Twitter handle is Lily Kay Jazz.
Lily Kay Jazz?
Yeah.
So you did like a temporary handle. Is that what? I think I saw 421.
Yeah, I just changed my little name to be like, hey, 421. But the actual Twitter handle is Lily Kay Jazz.
Lily Kay, and that's Lily with an I. L-I-L-I. Yes, correct.
Now, it's amazing that this is her first album. It sounds so polished, so good. Obviously, that comes from all the experience working with everyone else that you've worked with in your career, but it's incredible to hear this sound as your first debut album.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, and that's, again, she's performing live tomorrow night at Shuba's at 7 p.m., and then her debut album is going to be at Bottom Lounge. Her party is going to be at the Bottom Lounge on April 25th, but on iTunes, it will be available on April 21st. See how it happens when you write things down.
Oh, that's so exciting. Good, Patty. You're just getting better and better every minute.
Thank you. You should be. I appreciate when it's acknowledged that I write things down. I remember. I do also, do you like looking around at the musicians too, to see
it.
Where they all are.
Yeah,
because,
I love it.
Because is it bass or is it guitar? Bass is behind me, guitar over here. I don't know the difference. Hold on a second. So bass. So you guys are in it. And like the drums is in it. Now I'm not sure what's going on with guitar, because guitah, he's kind of like looking around.
He's got his wah pedal going.
It was enjoyable. Like I don't know how to explain the expressions, but he's like, I don't know where to look right now. And
I mean, the audience can't see it, but we're like placed in a giant circle around the room, so it's not like
right.
They can see it format. At WJRadio.com.
We live stream. Yes, so
oh boy.
Yes.
Everyone's looking at you, all of America.
Is this the most spread out your band has been during a performance?
Is this the most spread out you've ever been?
Well, I bet it's the only time they've ever been in a circle.
All just play in a circle.
In a circle.
Yes,
it's
like
we're going to do a musical intervention here. We're glad you've all shown up. We're going to put you in a circle now.
Why am I in the middle? It doesn't make any sense.
We're here to talk about Patty.
Oh, boy. When we come back, we will have another song from Lily Kay and the Lily Kay Band. And I think that I don't want to encourage anyone to record it, because her album's coming out, but I'm going to need a recording of this. More after this on Pretty Little Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Thank you so much, Bob Ferguson. That was amazing, too. Once again, we are proud to introduce, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on WGN Radio, Lily Kay and the Lily Kay Band with Tommy.
Sweet blood waiting down now, sweet and down, yeah, you do. No wonder I got a man. He's as sweet as pecan pie. I got a man. Mine so bright, set my world on fire. My man's so good to me. So strong, so deep.
What you say?
I said he's good to me. He's strong, he's deep. And his name is Tommy. Tommy, you're like a book of poetry. Oh, I said, Tommy, your words alone excite me. Oh, my dear Tommy, no, don't let go of me. And I said, Tommy, and tell me that you love me. And Tommy, tell me, can you take your eyes off of me? Tommy, let me know everything you're thinking. He said, blue, sing a truth, is you're my queen. Please be patient, baby, I'm working for a ring. I know times is tough, but I'ma give you what you need. Till the end of time, 1, 4, 3. Oh, dear Tommy, you are like a book of poetry. Oh, I said, Tommy, your words alone excite me. And my dear Tommy, no, don't let go of me, 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 me. I said, Tommy, and tell me that you love me. And I put it on the line, y'all can even dare me. My Tommy is the one I wanna marry. Put it on the line, y'all can even dare me. My Tommy is the one I wanna marry. Put it on the line, y'all can even dare me. My Tommy is the one I wanna marry. Put it on the line, y'all can even dare me. My Tommy is the one I wanna marry. Oh, dear Tommy, you are like a book of poetry. Oh, I said, Tommy, your words, they don't excite me. And my dear Tommy, no, don't let go of me, 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 me. I said, Tommy, and tell me that you.
Kay band with Tommy.
That was amazing.
I know. I don't even know what to think of what's going to happen next. And I feel bad because I want to get some pictures and I'll post them on Facebook and Twitter because people are already asking about you guys. Such wonderful music. Again, they're playing live at Shuba's tonight, technically. You're playing on Tuesday night at Shuba's?
Yeah.
Tuesday night at Shuba's starting at 7 o'clock. And on April 25th, you can catch them at the Bottom Lounge for their CD release party. That's going to be on April 25th at the Bottom Lounge. And the CD drops on iTunes on April 21st. You can follow her at Lily K Jazz on Twitter.
We're getting a lot of text messages in from the 262. Lily K is awesome. Sounds like Joss Stone. 815. I'm assuming that the singer spells her name Lilikay. No, it's just a K.
Just a K. Thank you.
I'll be buying last initial K.
Yes.
Okay. I'll be buying the album. Dig the sexy smooth sound. And there's a lot more coming in. Just yes. Really excited about the
cute
band.
Body roll.
Cute body roll. Cute yeah. Is that what this is? Shoulders to the hips is a body roll.
Oh, yeah.
I just call it like stretching out. Well, when I do it, it doesn't look sexy at all. It looks like I'm just like, oh, you have a cramp.
Well, you have training in physical therapy type stuff, don't you? Cramp.
Yeah, it's like, it looks like when I do it, it's like, oh, that woman, she's cramping up.
When Lily K does it, she looks like she's getting ready for something.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't have a cramp.
She's like, I'm
her website too. I was looking at, you know, she has this amazing website and you have like videos and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I have like videos and everything.
I mean, look at that.
Lily K Music, Lilik, the letter K, music.com. You can find out more about her music, her bio, her videos, all the press, what can I shop for? Am I shopping?
Everything. She has some music on there.
Oh, look at this.
It's amazing.
There's more music here. Look at
like pictures of the
Googling band. Googling
the
Patty Vasquez. We're going online.
To websites. I'm curious to ask Lily what it's like to perform at some of the festivals you've been at. You've been at South by Southwest and quite a few other ones. Yeah.
South by is a lot of fun. We actually went for the first time as a band this year. I've been in the past as like a smaller group.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. We all crammed in a van. We learned a lot of things about each other.
Really? Do tell.
Yeah. Some of the faces these guys can make are ridiculous.
Some of the faces they can make?
Oh, yeah. There's
That's not really what we're thinking about when we want to learn something new about your musicians.
Our bass player snores really loud.
Oh.
Look at he's like, I don't care. I'm proud.
No, we had a really fun show.
Did you want to get him like a nasal strip? You know, like one of those things that keeps you...
We're looking. If anyone has recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a nasal...
We need an endorsement.
An endorsement, yeah. This trip sponsored... The tour is sponsored by Nasal Strips.
That'd be amazing.
Coolest band sponsor ever. So much credibility from that. Nasal
so hip.
Strips.
The kids are going to love it. Everyone's going to be walking around at the concerts with nasal strips.
Yeah, it'll be like the new thing. They'll be like neon ones.
You can get our band logo on the nasal strips.
Oh, I love it.
You get my Lily K band nasal strip? That is awesome, man.
The marketing is outrageous.
Yes.
I kind of love it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nowhere to go after that.
No, because they're going to be like, all the oxygen goes straight to my brain. I'm sorry, what else did you learn?
Well, I was just going to say Lollapalooza was pretty fun, too. I just did, I was a vocalist during Chance the Rapper's performance when he headlined last year, and R. Kelly came out, and I got to sing with R. Kelly. Well, and, like what else do you
what
do
else,
in life?
What else? That? What was it like doing Summerfest, though, in your hometown? I mean,
Summerfest is always fun.
Yeah.
It definitely has a different festival feel than the rest of the music festivals.
It's a Midwestern.
It's like, Western, get drunk at 2 o'clock.
Yep.
And everyone's walking around saying, hi. Everyone else in Midwestern is like, hey, how are you?
It's
hi.
It's not even like being nice. It's just everyone literally knows each other. Like if I go to Summerfest, I see my entire high school class.
Yep.
So it's just like,
Craig, we have to go to Summerfest. I mean, we know we have Lollapalooza here, but I used to do Summerfest. They used to have a comedy tent right by the, I swear.
Are you serious?
They used to have a comedy tent right by that ride. They would have this big, like, loud ride. And it was just a tent. And we would try to get people's attention. I think Comedy Sports was doing some of it.
Comedy Sports did some stuff. Yeah.
Well, we used to have stand-up. I used to open for Lewis Black because he would do, and Will Durst, who's also from Wisconsin. We would do the comedy tent. It was just, and we were like competing with, right next to the pavilion, right next to the big amphitheater, whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Marcus Amphitheater. Yeah. Where they don't have the rides anymore now. It's just more stages.
And they don't have the comedy either. So very well.
Speaking of places, can we go to Shuba's tomorrow before our show?
Yes.
We try to get there?
Can we bring some recording equipment?
Record some of the stuff.
I like that. So Shuba's, are we doing a song here before the news?
We can wait till after the news.
Let's wait after the news. Yeah, I think we should probably give him a chance.
Wait
for it. Mm-hmm. So Shuba's tonight. That's Tuesday night, 7 p.m. again on April 25th to see Lily K. They're going to be at the Bottom Lounge for their CD release party. But you can get the album on April 21st on iTunes. And where else are you traveling to next? She even sings her response, her pause.
Like, oh.
The rest of us just say, we're so cursed. Like, we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just go, what? I don't know.
Why?
We have a few fun things that we're planning. Nothing is announced yet or solidified.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean
yet.
To like, she's like, it's all private.
Like,
she's like,
it's
ruined it.
Really quick? Mm-hmm. No.
She's like, I could tell you, but then I would have to hurt you very badly.
Yeah, please don't hurt me.
But our pre-sale link for the album actually goes live tomorrow. So
it does.
You can order the album as soon as tomorrow, and then it will just magically appear in your iTunes on April 21st.
Is that on your website?
Yeah, well, we'll be promoting it tomorrow. That's
at Shuba's?
I don't even have the link.
She can't
yet.
Tell us.
I'm going to buy it. That's why I got it on her website.
I would tell you, but I don't have the link yet.
We're
going
to go.
It'll
so
be all over the Twitters and everything once I have
we're
it.
We're going to Shuba's. We're going
tomorrow?
Yeah, I think. All right. I'm so I can do that. Let's do that. We're going to Shuba's. I just decided for the whole show for everyone here. I
mean, Nick,
everybody's going to Shuba's. I'm sorry, Shuba's. Please be prepared. So Shuba's, which is over by Dare, it is, I want to say it's Halsted and, no.
No, it's a Belmont.
Belmont.
And Shuba's.
See?
Belmont and Shuba's. It's Belmont and Shuba's.
It's Belmont and Southport.
Belmont
and
Southport.
Belmont and Southport, yeah.
Shuba's is so thrilled to be having this kind of coverage. It's Belmont and Shuba's. It's Belmont and Southport, so we will be there at 7 o'clock. Do I have I'm sure you told me earlier, but I don't know what I'm doing. You're listening pretty late, and we have really been thrilled with music. We are so blessed to have great bands all the time, but this really ranks amongst the top. I don't want to pick favorites.
No,
I'm not going to play favorites.
No, but this one's pretty good.
A little bit here. Are you okay with my picking favorites?
Yeah, like no problem.
All right then. Lily K. And
the
Lily K Band. They are performing tonight at Shuba's. That's tonight, Tuesday. That's at Belmont and Shuba's, we decided. Also known as Belmont and Southport. And the show starts at 7 o'clock. We'll be there. So the Pretty Late Show. Let's get some Pretty Late listeners out there. And here they are with Refreshing.
Got up out of bed today, had a lot on my mind, so I went to the kitchen to get a glass of juice, and I poured one for you too, absentmindedly. Then your absence reminded me that there will be less of all of the stress from you. A sigh of relief that you won't keep me from the truth anymore. No, refresh my soul, refresh my soul. I feel so refreshed without you. Refresh my soul, refresh my soul. walking down the block today. I had some joy in my step, thinking of the possibility of what could happen. Next, with my next lover, I want to discover the best I have to offer. But first I have to be all the way in love with me before I can give myself to another, another. So refresh my soul, refresh my soul. I feel so refreshed without you. Refresh my soul, refresh my soul. I feel so refreshed without you. Oh, I feel good and I feel new. I feel fresh and I feel true to myself, cause no one else is holding me back. No, there's no one here to make me sad anymore. So so refreshed, so refreshing. Life without you is 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 so refreshing.
Lily Kay and Lily Kay Band with Refreshing.
Oh, man.
I know. And we already have callers. The thing is, you can't call and request the same song again.
When she started to scat, I wanted to just start yelling out. I wanted to yell like, oh!
You could. We wouldn't. You're in the booth. Yeah.
I know. Okay. All right.
We have a listener who would like to join the conversation. What do you want me to do? Just you turn the phone on. All right.
There you go.
Bob Ferguson, making sure that everyone sounds great, including myself, reminding me of stuff. We have Koku. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, this is Koku.
Hey, Koku, how you doing? The drummer just. I don't know if it was a squeal or a.
He squealed with glee.
With glee. Are you a friend of the band?
Yes. Hey, I just want to let them know that I will have on my denim mall outfit.
Your
that
denim mall
and
outfit.
Lily bought together.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You're coming to Shuba's.
Yes, and I'll have on my platinum lace front for her to also examine while she's singing.
Okay. Wow. I'll wear my matching one.
A platinum lace front?
Very supportive friend.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we're not part of the...
No, I don't. It sounds amazing, though.
It does sound amazing.
You just like go to the mall and buy awful things to wear,
uh-huh.
And then it's amazing.
Are there particular stores like Deb? Do you like, I mean, which ones? Yeah,
usually the stores that don't have a name or the name changes like every week.
Sure, they're just renting the space.
Yeah.
They're like the Halloween stores.
Usually they're like the same places where you get t-shirts airbrushed.
Gotcha. All right.
Oh, I need to explore this a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I want them to play Tommy again.
They want to play Tommy. Actually, we're going to invite, I want to see if Lily Kay will stay a little bit longer because I have a game I want to invite her to play. And Koku, you can call back and maybe be one of our contestants because we're going to give away a free Lumel Nani's $25 gift card.
Okay.
All right.
She's like, now I'm in.
Now I'm in. So $25 gift card. So Lily, if you will hang out, I have a game that we have a game. That's one of my favorite games. It's co-created by myself, Dr. Charles. Chris Turk, Craig, Todd Manley, who is programming director. I think that we should spread, I think that credit should really be spread wide and far. The game is called What's in the Box? And it's based off of the fact that Amazon will, people will post reviews about everything and anything. And I was fascinated by the fact that there are people who will review adult toys. And I had wanted to compile a collection of those so that men could learn maybe a little bit more about what women enjoy, what we need, you know, whether it's, you know.
From Amazon.
From Amazon.com. Okay. And I wasn't sure what to do with that information because it is voluminous. There's a lot of it. There's just a lot. There's one toy that has over 1,800 reviews, right?
Wow.
Yes. One, so that's a lot.
I mean, how high? Does it 5-star? 4-star? There,
everything. It has everything. There are complaints.
Oh, there are complaints.
Absolutely. These are not all positive.
By the way,
issues.
Real quick, a couple more texts from the 847. Totally digging Lily Kay. I saw her on Winnie City Live. It was amazing.
You were on Winnie City Live recently. Wonderful. Yeah.
And then from the 312, I will be at Shuba's for sure, bringing as many people as I can.
Yes.
This is awesome.
We're going to Shuba's. All 7 right. o'clock tonight. It's at Belmont and Shuba's. And that's my new favorite thing. Also at Southport. But we didn't think we could just do adult toy conversations, right? So we have turned it – because there's all kinds of reviews. So we decided to make it sort of a mystery for our listeners, a bit of a game so they could guess. So because people review everything and anything, we also – we want to know what's in the box because Amazon, everything is delivered in the exact same box. So it's called What's in the Box, and we will read a review to you, and you have to tell us if it's an appliance or an appliance.
Oh, an appliance.
It's an appliance.
I just like that that's what you're determining in the game is called What's in the Box.
What's in the Box.
That's very...
Oh, yeah, that itself.
312-981-7200. Give us a call, and if you play and if you win, we will give you a $25 gift card. So we're going to have two listeners go head-to-head. What
again.
And we're going to have Lily Kay read some of these reviews with us on 720 WGN. Making whoopee. 312-981-7200. If you want to play What's in the Box, we have reviews from Amazon.com. You tell us if it's a toy. I'm sorry, a toy or a toy. No, an appliance or... An adult toy, really. And you could say appliance, but it's easier if you just say toy. It just really is. 312-981-7200. We have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza.
You'll get more bonus points if you go appliance.
Right. And then we'll know that... And Lily Kay, who is performing tonight at Shuba's, which is at Belmont and Shuba's, also known as Southport. The show starts at 7. Well, they'll be playing at 7. And we're all going to be there. We're going to take some selfish selfies. She also has a CD release party on April 25th at Bottom Lounge. And her CD is, what's the CD called again? Ruby?
Ruby. And it will be available on iTunes for pre-sale tomorrow.
All right. Wonderful. And I think people were so mystified by the music. Oh, we do have people calling. We got nervous there for a moment. 312-981-7200. Oh, it was... Well, Koku called back and wants to play. So 312-981-7200, we're looking for another contestant, but we can always just quiz Koku and I don't mind giving.
See how she does.
Let's see how she does. So I'm going to go ahead and let Daphne read the first one. So Koku, do you understand where you let us know they're going to read a review and you let us know if you think it's an appliance or an appliance. You can say you can say toy if that's easier.
Are you ready, Koku?
Yes.
Okay. All right, here was the review. The review is Works like a charm. Works like a charm. Are you there? Oh, is she really thinking about it?
Yes. It's tough.
That's it, though? That's all I get?
That's all you get. That was the review. They just said, works like a charm.
Mm-hmm. Appliance.
It is, in fact, a toy.
Oh. Isn't that such a cute way to put it? Works like a charm.
Oh, man. That was someone describing their preschooler's toy.
No, their adult toy. It's a butterfly. It's got here. No, just kidding. Lily Kay.
All right. This thing is amazing. Don't be fooled by the size. It gets the job done. Three N's. Done.
Done.
Oh.
Appliance.
How do I know?
What's on the back?
There's nothing on
Oh,
the
there's
back.
Nothing on the back. That one was an appliance.
Definitely. Yes. Appliance.
Like a fridge?
Oh. Yes. No, it was actually a toaster oven. I believe it was. These are all either.
That toaster oven must be amazing. There's three ends on that done.
Done.
It gets the job done.
All right, Koku, you're going to redeem yourself on this next one.
Go ahead,
one.
Daphne.
All right. Okay. This is the best thing I have ever bought from Amazon so far.
Oh my God, this is terrible grammar.
Man.
Yeah.
Appliance.
It's an appliance.
Yes. Yes. It's an appliance.
There you go.
Good job, Koku.
Yes. Yes. Finally.
Lily K.
All right. Lightweight compared to the others I have owned, and the outside seems to get very hot.
See these.
That is a toy.
That's an appliance.
That is a toaster oven.
Me and the toaster. Why are you giving me all the toaster ovens?
All the appliances are toaster ovens.
Really?
It's all one toy. It's all one toaster oven. Mm-hmm.
I think this next one's going to be my favorite. I don't know why. All right. Are you ready, Koku? I don't know if I can get through this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Hold on. Let me. Do not crack. All right. Here we go. Died out quickly. The motor no longer works at all.
That is a toy.
Yes, it is a toy.
Who says? She says, been there.
She's like, had that happen. Died out quickly. The motor no longer works at all.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't twirl anymore. Lily Gay?
Okay. Good for a first trial. Will no doubt improve with practice.
That is an appliance.
Girl, that's a toy.
Damn it.
Koku. Oh, dear Koku. All right. My dear do Koku. All right, here we go. Ready? All
right. Yes.
Looks good, works great.
Koku?
I'm going to go with an appliance.
Yes, it is in fact an appliance.
Nice. Do you see how these... I love that.
It's good.
See how these can go either way?
Yeah, I see. I see. It's very clever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
All right. Fantastic shape and design.
Koku.
That's a toy.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Oh, yeah.
Checking the leaderboard, Patty. Who's winning right now? Koku or Koku?
Koku. No one wants to compete with Koku. She's doing so well.
I'm unstoppable.
Koku's like, how many of these? Poor Koku has to answer all of them.
There's only like 20 more left, Koku. Patty's got a whole stack just waiting. All right.
Mm-mm. Two more. We'll do. How many more do you want to do?
Let's how many you got left over there?
I'm out.
You're out.
I got two left. Okay. All right. Very effective at its job. It was surprising how nice it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an appliance.
That is, in fact, a toy, mm-hmm. Koku.
What? Oh.
Mm-hmm. You're so- I think we're ending on that one, aren't we?
We're ending on this one.
Lily's got one more. We've got one more
right,
from Lily and then one
okay,
more from
Okay, go ahead, Lily. Go ahead, Lily.
Best I ever purchased, and it's not too big at all.
Oh, that's a toy.
No, that's an appliance. That is a toaster oven.
The rest of it fits on the counter.
It fits on the counter. See, guys, it's not all about the size. It's how well it works.
She's been telling you this for years.
Placement.
All right. Mm-hmm. Very happy with this purchase, though the delivery person did throw it over my 6-foot fence, but luckily didn't damage it. Works really well.
Do you love that? Do you love that?
Man, that is like, a toy appliance.
I think she wins.
You win. She wins.
She wins everything.
She wins everything.
Yay. Pizza for Koku.
Pizza for Koku. Lou Malnati's locations all over the Chicagoland area. Our favorite pizza here at WGN Radio. Koku, we'll see you tonight at Shuba's.
I actually have a gig tomorrow night. So tonight. I'm also an artist, but I'll try and come by. I'll try before.
All right. Well, you got pizza then. Since you're an artist, I'm glad that we're feeding you a little bit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yay! Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for playing. I know that was you were a very good sport. Yes. Those aren't as easy as you think. Have a good night, Koku. We'll talk to you again soon. Did you enjoy that?
This highlight of probably my life.
It's my favorite game I've ever played. Thank you.
It's a really good game.
You'll have to come back and play again, really.
Please. I want to keep playing it. I could do this all night.
I know. We have more. I figured, poor Koku was playing it. Somebody called. People were trying to call in. We were like, no, we're enjoying Koku. She gets the pizza.
Koku's really struggling.
Too slow on the draw with all the calling. Now everyone knows. Go to Amazon. Go wherever. Go to reviews. You can look up any sort of object, whatever you want to look for reviews. But you will learn a lot about women from the women.
Really?
We review these things, yes. Some women like it drawn out. Some like it quick and quiet. Women in the military will write reviews about these things. That's my favorite part. There are women in the military.
They identify themselves as serving in the military.
There are women who say that they're in the barracks and they're in their bunks. They want to make sure that they're not disturbing anybody else. But,
it's considerate.
I'm saying.
That is considerate. Yeah. I'm sure that not wanting, it's incredibly altruistic. Yeah.
It is. More after this on 720 WGN. Now you know what's in the box. That's Come Sunday by Lily Kay. She and her Lily Kay band are packing up the studio. And in one of the fun moments in radio, Daphne Scott, who also joined me in the studio, the Allstate Showcase studio, and Bob Ferguson, who made all the music sound amazing tonight, and of course the musicians were spectacular. One of the great things about radio is looking at your producer and saying something like, did we decide on unicorns or breast milk? That's really the kind of conversation we have through the course of a day. I mean, I don't know what other kind of jobs. Yeah, I don't know what other kind of jobs you could look at your coworker and go, what were you thinking? Do you think maybe the Rolling Stone article about the rape accusations or unicorns? And Wisconsin lost, I guess. No one's talking about that. I guess we're kind of on the. We should probably mention that. Should we tell people?
No.
Is that a spoiler alert if we say it happened?
No, it happened, and that's breaking news. So Duke won.
Everybody sounds so sad.
I don't.
NCAA national.
I'm just annoyed.
Well, someone was asking me why it's called March Madness if it's happening in April. It should be
it's predominantly happens in March.
Yeah, right. But now it's not even madness anymore. It's just kind of amusing. April amusements.
People are mad at Duke winning, I guess. So that's March Madness.
I'm
mad at Duke
April
winning.
Anger.
Yeah, April See? Anger. Yeah, because I'm mad at Duke for winning for many reasons.
Mm. Did you play basketball? Were you a basketball player?
I did. I did in high school. Yeah.
I don't know why I knew that. I feel like you've got that. You're like a power forward or something. I don't know. What are you?
Oh yeah, because I'm 5'5". Yeah.
I don't know who's tall. On the,
I was a guard.
They're usually very quick.
Yeah, and I'm small.
Craig also a basketball player.
I was also a point guard.
See, there you go.
But I actually was predominantly a shooter too. I didn't even get to dribble much for a point guard.
They just put you out there on the post.
They ran picks for me, and I shot, and then I got pulled out. It was a fun time.
That was good times. Yeah. Good time.
I was a center for my 8th grade basketball team. I was, because I was 5'6", tallest on the team.
Mm-hmm. Your tower mm-hmm. of
I was,
power.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. I was ambidextrous.
Yeah.
So I could...
dribble on. You could lay up on both sides.
Yeah, exactly. Which is rare for,
Why are you laughing, Craig? She could do
layup. No, that's right. She could lay up on both sides. Absolutely correct.
I don't know.
Whatever.
That sounds like an innuendo. It's not, but it sounds like one.
I have nothing to hide.
She only drives down the middle.
I have no shame whatsoever.
She drives the key.
We just played What's in the Box. This is perfect.
It's excellent.
My coach, his instructions were, and he would yell them at me, whatever you do, don't dribble. That was always what he would do. Just shoot or pass.
My college coach said the same thing. Don't put the ball on the ground.
Don't
just
bounce.
Shoot.
No bouncing.
I don't care where you're standing on the court.
Yeah, the up down.
You would just pivot.
Yeah, I was a mad pivoter. Yes, mad pivoter. Yeah, it's funny because I actually feel more athletic in the, I hadn't played any sports for a long time. I was a softball player and a swimmer in high school. Mm. And then I stopped I played intramurals in college. I played flag football. I was a quarterback on my team. It was a lot of fun. And we played Are you saying it because of my personality?
No.
I can't really allow others to run the team.
Did you scramble a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the pocket.
She was in the pocket. And she would scramble
just scrambling.
Outside.
Scrambling.
Well, we played flag football, too, so that was always kind of fun.
Oh, flag football's great.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think professional football, that's the way it's going. I think it's going to be flag football.
Eventually,
because
yeah.
All the concussions and the head injuries. I think, wouldn't it be great just to see these 250-pound guys wear little flags? I need to see
Everyone will eventually have an individual bubble, and that's how they'll play.
Oh, right. Just bouncing off each other.
Getting nowhere.
This game is so hard now.
I kind of love that. I've been, by the way, I do want to mention, speaking of staying fit, I went to a Doghouse CrossFit today and I saw Courtney. Courtney looks great. And Eddie usually runs away from me because he knows I'll take a selfie with him. It's a dog. Eddie literally is like, everyone else goes, oh God, here she is with the camera. I do. I take selfish selfies with him all the time.
And he's finally running off?
Well, I hadn't been. No, he was running away. Today he came and ran up to me because I haven't been there in 10 days.
And I
forgot my phone today, so he knew that I didn't even have it with me. But it's been now. CrossFit's really aggressive.
Yep.
Workouts. Yeah. You take a week off, and you pay for it.
Who ran your
Amanda? Lesson. Who I told you I really wanted to work out with. I like Amanda a lot. Doesn't mean it's easy. And this is something that is. I was watching, and there was one person who was finishing last, right? And I was on the bottom three. There were three of us that were. We had to run a quarter mile. We ran outside. We would come back, do 21 kettlebell swings, and then remember the wall balls.
I remember the wall balls.
The wall balls are the worst.
Yeah, they're not fun.
They sound horrible.
10 wall balls.
So you gotta bend all the way down like a squat, and then throw the ball up against the wall, and then catch it and keep doing that.
Yeah,
and it's a medicine ball.
It's not just like one time. If it was one time, I'd be like,
right, one time, no big deal.
10 times.
No, at least 10.
I use a 10-pound ball. I think they try to make a minimum of 14 pounds, but I was in the bottom three, and I don't like, I'm okay with being in the bottom, like being last, finishing up. The being the very last was intense because everyone's like, you can do it. And I was like, he knows he can do it. He's doing it. Stop yelling at him. You know, I don't want to be like, and they'll do that for me. I have been the last finishing up on one of the rotations. And I was like, you all need to stop yelling at him.
You're just like, it's too much. Like, he can do it.
Like, we can all clap when he's like done. But even that's kind of like, you finish your last. It was weird. I felt really.
No, I'm the type of person that needs a you can do it because I've stopped. I'm having pizza in the corner usually.
Yes. Yeah.
He'll actually do it, Craig.
He'll call for delivery in the middle of the session.
You know, if I need a breadstick or something,
it is they are the most supportive workout crew I've ever been.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're high-fiving on the Northwest Highway while we're doing a quarter-mile run.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
They're awesome. They're awesome people. They have just events that you can go to if you're a little intimidated by the actual working out to start, and you can get to know everybody. It's a really great atmosphere.
Yes. And I will say this, Craig, after having done it for a while, now when I do the ball slams, you know, when you have to bounce these.
Yeah, I remember those.
10 or 14 pound, and it goes up in weight depending on your strength.
Right.
I can do that. It's weird. Wow. I'm like, I can do
progress.
I can do that. I did my push lifts. But there was a, I did do. So they have these huge barbells. And you do the. We've done like the push. I can't remember all the names of them, but
the snatch and jerk.
All those things, right? And they were putting more weights on mine today. So I got up to like, I don't know what it was. It was 20 pounds on both. So 40 pounds plus the bar.
Sure.
Whatever. So, and you do the push lift, right? And it's the one where you lock out your arms. And there was a moment where I went like this. And I started staggering, like I was crooked, like I couldn't.
Oh no!
like staggering, I'm like,
you were falling over to the side.
No, I was. It was like a cartoon. I said, and this one guy said it here. Just heard me just go, "Not gonna happen. Not gonna.
I'm going down." Someone,
they're all like
spot
running
me.
Over. Yeah, they're like, step forward. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
My arms are broken.
This hurts me so much. Well, now when I work out, I haven't been doing any of the post workout recovery stuff.
We really should have done that. I think.
Well, you're supposed to do like those, like a, you take a, you know, like a foam roller, and they actually have like ones that have like a PVC, like a big pipe in the middle, so it's actually more support.
And then they even have a stretching class that you can take before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You gotta stretch it out.
Yeah. So, right. And apparently they also, you know, Courtney is amazing because she's really all about the fundamentals, making sure everyone's being safe. She wasn't, nobody saw me do this because I had put to, like,
You distracted her with something?
I had someone else like, no, you can do it. Like one of the other classmates. Like, I can't.
You're like, I can't.
But one of the recovery things they also have, they also supply, if you decide to use like, you know, the like powders and mixes and drinks and things like that. I didn't know that till someone was asking me if I tried that. Well, it reminded me of a story. We had this, fitness, blogger who had experiments with post workout recovery techniques, and he would order breast milk to sort of enhance his ability to recover after a workout. I don't know what the qualities or the properties of breast milk are supposed to be. Like he said,
they need to recover from extreme exercise. So makes total sense.
Life, I guess being alive is exhausting.
It's exhausting.
So he had this very long blog. We actually talked to him about this. He would order the milk and it turned out to be fairly expensive. But he said like it helped him build muscle. It helped him. He felt like he was recovering quicker than if he used any of these other store-bought items. And there are places you can go online to buy breast milk. There are women who pump and then sell. And they have to go through a whole service where they're screened to make sure that there aren't any diseases.
The guy's name was Justin Cedar. Mm-hmm. And we had him on, and he really loved it.
He loved
Patty
it.
Was saying.
He said it was only it was
like
only
he would
expensive.
Put it on his cereal or
no, he would just drink it. He said he would. He said it wasn't very tasty. You had to drink it fast. Like he would hold his nose basically and drink it quickly.
It's like any other workout drink to mm-hmm. him. I think. I don't think he liked the taste of it, but the benefit was pretty substantial. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there, because this is a growing industry, there are nursing moms who sell their milk to feed their other other women's babies. Maybe they're working or they can't. They're not producing milk. They have done a blind study and found that more than 1 in 10 of those tested samples have cow's milk. So these moms who think that they're giving their babies breast milk, women are watering them down. They're bulking up their supply by mixing in cow's milk.
Who would know the difference?
I don't know.
Maybe a baby would.
Maybe.
The babies probably did.
Mm-hmm. A baby would know or...
Right.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're
A cow might know.
A cow might definitely know.
A cow is not buying that.
A baby cow?
A baby cow might be. This isn't my mom's milk.
What is this?
What is this? This is breast milk.
And I love this statement. The levels of cow milk were high enough, we don't think it was just an accident. How is it ever an accident?
How could you accidentally get some cow milk in
there? Unless you're pumping while you're milking your cow on the farm, right? So you're hooked up to your own machine. You're milking a cow.
You get the pump confused for just a second.
Yeah, for just a second. You put the wrong breast in there. I don't... How does that happen?
Plus 102...
That's not the right breast.
What is happening?
This is the first time I'm doing this.
I wanted the tit, not the teeny. The teat.
Did we mean to get to anything?
I don't know.
No.
So 102 of the examples. Craig's like, can we move on?
No,
because
no,
this
ahead.
Is so disappointing for moms who buy breast milk online, right? So 102 of the examined samples also contain chemicals that are present in the milk of active smokers.
Wow.
Right? And that was from two sellers who promised they smoked were milk. Non-smokers. Smoked milk. 102 of the specimens found that 3/4 had bacteria, including E. coli, staph infection.
Yeah, staphylococcus.
Mm-hmm. And
So now I got smoky, infected cow's milk.
Well, the problem is,
are we that surprised that you bought breast milk on the internet
and it wound up
being a little bit tainted?
Yes.
Is anyone that shocked by this news?
I'm shocked by this part. Doctors are more concerned about the cow milk than they are about the possibly tainted milk. Yes, because depending on the newborn's chronological or gestational age, drinking donor milk tainted with cow's milk can cause the baby's body to react badly to foreign antigens because that's what would be present in cow's milk. So, that's the reason why we don't just... I mean, if it were that easy, moms would just give their babies cow's milk.
Right. They're not supposed to.
We wouldn't be giving them formula because you need all the nutrients that are present in formula. And that's the thing, is that like all that's very hard. And it's already stressful enough for moms who can't or won't breastfeed.
No kidding.
That's just kidding.
Just give the baby water. Mm.
By the way, breastfeeding was one of the most... That was the weirdest part of being a mom, like when I was pregnant and having the babies. I remember after Griffin, I was like, this is ridiculous. I look like I've been drawn by a 14-year-old boy. This is absurd. And my cats would not stop following me around. That elevator is looking like a smooth ride, my friend.
I took it really serious this time, too. I was not smiling at all.
It hit all the floors.
Yeah.
You were into it.
Well, that elevator, I mean, they were doing work on it for a while, but you're right.
No, yeah, all the pulleys are good. I think it's everything's greased.
I thought I threw out my back.
I didn't get to see. Now, Nick DiGiorgio.
He was dancing.
He was dancing as well.
Oh, yeah, I did. I was moving it. Yeah.
We had a lot we didn't get to tonight. There was a Rolling Stones is repeat. They're saying that they have made a mistake, that they shouldn't have gone forward with this article about the rape down in, I don't even, but by the way,
UVA.
It's, oh, thank you, UVA at a fraternity. And there's been, look, it's hard enough when you want to believe a victim. Right.
Sure.
You want to you don't want to say, you know, ask her questions like, well, what were you wearing? How much of a drink? And then to find out that the investigation wasn't, you know, they didn't follow all the proper protocol. They didn't have enough information.
Several.
Yeah. So
several. Yeah. They didn't find follow up with friends or people she said that were there. Or, right. You know, there were several things.
Well, and for Rolling Stone to like run with that. And I think it's because, you know, it's overzealousness. Right. Because we want to make sure that people are aware of what's going on because it is happening.
Sure.
On college campuses. But it's also not happening.
I was reading, and they said 2 to 8% are not true,
and that's not that big. I mean, that's a big number to the people who are being accused. It's a big number,
exactly.
But that means that there are 92 to 98% of those cases
that are accurate.
Correct. Nick DiGiulio has joined us in studio, and does it feel better that the White Sox lost, or does it matter at all to you? Because you know they had a better record.
Well, I like the fact that they got killed.
They really did. The Royals got shellacked. I know, he's got his good head on. Daphne was, when Daphne got here today, she goes, did Nick saw Furious 7, right? He saw that.
Oh, I'm like, please.
I wanted to know. I said I wanted to know what you thought.
It's the greatest movie ever made.
That's what and it was funny because I heard him say that the greatest movie ever made, he'd seen it this weekend. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what came up? Oh.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Was it good?
It's so stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, this so is sort of awesome. Their, I mean, this is kind of their...
You know what? Here's the weird thing about it. It rules. It's with each progressive film, they get more ridiculous,
right,
and more outrageous,
right,
as they go. And in my opinion, they get better and better and better.
Well, it's becoming sort of like that cult following thing, right? I mean, they've
gone not cult.
On.
I mean, this thing made $143 million.
Right,
it's wild.
In America alone, it made $350 million worldwide over the weekend. Over the weekend.
What's the record in the United States?
I don't know. This was the ninth biggest opening of all time. Of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah. The biggest Easter opening ever.
For Easter.
I know. I love it. For Easter.
Well, it's got the creepy factor of Paul Walker. You're like,
well, this is what I was going to say about the movie is that it's just, it's outrageous. It's hilarious. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The stunts are unbelievable. Yeah. The action is great. The car chases are ridiculous. There's a scene involving a car that flies from
California to
one high rise building to another.
What?
Like it's when you, like, spectacularly stupid.
When you take a rock and you try to skim it on the
it
water.
Smashes it through one of the, Vin Diesel's driving a car. It smashes through a window on, like, I don't know, the 120th floor of a building in Dubai. It sails down to about the 70th floor of a building next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Smashes through that.
Keeps going.
Screws up an art opening.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
And then flies through that window, goes down to about the 40th floor of the building next to it. And genius.
Yeah, right.
But the thing about it is that there's actually at the end of it, the last 5 minutes of the movie, I cried. Because I didn't know that there was going to be a tribute to Paul Walker at the end of the movie. And they did this really, really beautiful tribute to Paul Walker.
Really?
And so after all this, like 2 hours and 10 minutes of ridiculousness.
All adrenaline. Right.
And right. Like, yeah! Like sitting in the theater like, this is the greatest movie ever made!
I don't know if I can make that noise when I go. Does everybody make that noise?
But then like at the end, like they get all like, really
sentimental.
Oh my God. And I didn't expect that. And I was like, it was weird because everybody in the theater, you could, like, during the last, like, 5 minutes of the film, there were people sniffling and blowing their nose.
Really?
Throughout the entire
movie. That's great.
So it really got to people. That's awesome.
It did, yeah.
Did they feature any 96 Hondas?
No, there were no 96 Hondas in the movies. But there was just, I'll tell you what, though. I will say this, the best badass car in the movie,
Ford Fiesta
is driven by Michelle Rodriguez. So they gave the baddest car
to the chick.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, Vin Diesel has a pretty, you know, I mean, he's got the car that he uses in all the movies with, you know, but man, Michelle Rodriguez is a badass. You know, here's another thing I love about that series is they you know, they killed her off in the fourth movie.
Right. Right.
And then they brought her back. And now she's trying to get her memory back. Evidently, she was just gone somewhere. And now for the last two movies, she's trying to get her memory back. But you can't. I mean, Michelle Rodriguez is such a badass that you can't make a Fast and Furious movie without her.
No, she's got to
be. You can't.
She had to come back. When they killed her off, that was like with a big argument.
Oh, I was so mad. I was like, what the? And they killed her off screen.
Yes.
And I was like, you can't.
Was that something like, was that something because of where she was headed in her private life? Because I know she was having a tough time personally.
You know what? Yeah, there was some stuff she was going through. But like, she didn't know she was going to be in the next one until they started shooting.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, you're in.
You got to